I'm thankful for the prayers today and for the songs, Joe. Good job, brother. Appreciate that. I hope you had a good Thanksgiving, that things went well, all of your travels were uneventful. It takes me about every 3 to 5 years to realize that 8 days of extended family is way too much. And I forget. And I don't know why my wife doesn't remind me or what, but boy, I am glad to be home. I'm glad I am here, and I'm really glad they are in Texas. This is lesson 17 in this series on 1 John. And the series title is, How Do You Know You're a Christian? Today we're specifically looking at, here's what we can know. Now, this is really the last few verses in this letter. And we're going to be dealing with most of them in this lesson, and Lord willing, next Sunday, a handful of them in another, where we explore the brother who sins and what to do with that. But as John is bringing his letter to a close, it's almost like here he summarizes. And he's bringing it all together, almost like a good communications teacher would say, tell them what you're going to tell them, and now tell them what you have told them. Which is what John seems to be doing here. He is telling them now what he has told them throughout this whole letter. So these verses are kind of a synopsis. And he's really hitting the highlights or the major points that the brothers and sisters need to know from what he has written to them. If you would please, stand for the reading of the word. 1 John 5, 13 through 21. I write these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God so that you may know that you have eternal life. And this is the confidence we have in approaching God. If we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. And we know that He hears us. Whatever we ask, we know that we have what we asked of Him. If anyone sees his brother commit a sin that does not lead to death, he should pray and God will give him life. I refer to those whose sin does not lead to death. There is a sin that leads to death. I'm not saying that he should pray about that. All wrongdoing is sin. And there is sin that does not lead to death. We know that anyone born of God does not continue to sin. The one who is born of God keeps him safe. And the evil one cannot harm him. We know that we are children of God, and that the whole world is under the control of the evil one. We know also that the Son of God has come and has given us understanding, so that we may know Him who is true. And we are in Him who is true, even in His Son, Jesus Christ. He is the true God and eternal life. Dear children, keep yourselves from idols. Thank you. Be seated. How do you know you're a Christian? John says, here are some things you should know by now. Here are some things based on what he has written that we should grasp, that we can hold on to and we can have certainty about. As a matter of fact, he says we can know, we can be certain, we can be assured, we have confidence. And here is like a summary of them. He says that we can know we have eternal life. I write these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God that you may know you have eternal life. As we've gone through this letter, we've talked about this. We can be certain. We can be assured. We can be completely confident that we possess, that we actually have now, eternal life. God never intended for us to live in uncertainty. It was never God's will that we not be sure that we are saved. God has always wanted us to be sure and be confident that we possess this eternal life right now. He's wanted us to be confident in our victory. He wants us to be certain of our salvation. And I hear stories. I've heard one recently that a member here shared with me, where a member of the Six and Lizard Church and a person who was a member of the Windsong Church who passed away during the final days and final hours was feeling uncertain, unsure, and not confident of their salvation. And thankfully, there was a brother who was able to spend some time with them and read these words. You should be. You can be. You should know. I want to ask you this, and I really want you to think about this. Do you live with an abiding confidence and an abiding certainty? Do you know you're saved? Because if you're always worried about that, if you're always wondering about that, if you do not have that confidence, it's going to be difficult for you to act the way God wants you to act. It's going to be difficult for you to do the things God wants you to do. How do you convince someone that this is the way to go? That this is what you should do? That this is how you should live, and you can't even be sure of where you are or how you stand with God? John wanted that group of people to whom he was writing to know, you can be certain, you can know that you have eternal life. Then he says, we can know that God answers our prayers. He says, this is the confidence we have in approaching God, that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. This is the confidence. Here's something else we can know that we can be confident about, that we can be assured of, that as we approach God, in our Wednesday night Bible class, we've been talking about Christ's priesthood and it being in the order of Melchizedek. And we've talked about how in the Old Covenant, not everybody got to approach God. Instead, only the priests were the one who would draw near to God. Only the high priest could enter the most holy place and approach God on the Day of Atonement. And here John is saying, we, because of who we are and who God is and what He's done, we can have confidence in approaching God. And this is the confidence we have. If we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. We can ask anything in line with the will of God, and God will hear us, he says. And he further elaborates on that. And if we know that He hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have what we have asked of Him. I want you to notice the tense of the verbs here. We know, continuous action, present tense, that He hears us continually, continuously hears us. Whatever we ask continually, that we have what we asked of Him. Not will have. It's not the future tense. It's not the, if you're lucky and God listens and you're patient, we have, he says, we have what we ask of Him. John says a lot there, but we've studied about how God answers prayers in earlier lessons in this series. But he says, when we come to God and we are approaching God and we are petitioning Him according to His will, by His will, allowing His will to guide us, we can be confident. We can know that He hears us. And He will give us whatever we ask. If it is in line with His will, He will answer us. Do you live with a sense that when you pray to God, when you pray to Him, the prayers you ask according to His will, do you know He hears you? Do you know He will answer you? I'm not just talking about faith. Do you know it? This goes beyond it. John says, we believe, or we hope, or it is our expectation, or we are encouraged to think. He says, we know that God hears us. And we know that He will answer us. Do you believe that? Do you feel that? Do you live like that? Then he says, we can know we don't live in sin if we're His children. We know that anyone born of God does not continue to sin. The one who is born of God keeps him safe, and the evil one cannot harm him. There's a lot going on here. We know that anyone born of God does not continue to sin. And it's good he put that there. Continue to sin. Because earlier in this letter, John has said, if anyone says they don't have sin, they're a liar. Or if someone says, I don't have any sin, he is deceiving himself and the truth is not in him. He has said those words. And when he says, anyone born of God does not continue to sin, that is to continue to live in sin. To live a life marked by sin. To allow sin to be the rule of one's life. Christians don't do that. We know that anyone, if you have been born of God, sin is not the identifying characteristic of your life. If you are born of God, righteousness is the identifying characteristic of your life. It's what marks you. So when he says, we know that anyone born of God does not continue to sin, the one who has been born of God keeps him safe. Continuous action. Again. And the evil one cannot harm him. Christ keeps us safe. When we are born of God, we are kept safe by Him. It is our relationship with Christ that keeps us in the light. It is He who protects us, He who guards us, He who cleanses us. And then He says, He keeps us safe. It is He who keeps us right with God. He not only initially makes us right with God at our conversion, He is the one who continually keeps us right with God. He keeps Him. That's what it literally says. He keeps Him. Our NIV translators put in the word safe so it would be smoother for us. But literally, He keeps us. And the evil one cannot harm us. When we are born of God, we know that we don't live in sin because Christ keeps us safe. Do you know that? John says we know it. This is with certainty, with absolute assurance. This is what is taking place. Our lives are not marked by sin, and Christ is keeping us from the evil one, protecting us from Him. And then he says, we can know that we are God's children. We know that we are children of God and that the whole world is under the control of the evil one. We have seen this a lot from John, haven't we? We can know that we're children of God. And sometimes we may end up taking that for granted. Here's the thing. In the New Testament, we learn that people are children of one of two entities. There are people who are children of God. They have been born of God. They belong to God. They are God's possession and God's children. And they are children of the devil. In our modern times, people want to say, well, look, you know, That's harsh. Now, either you're a child of God or you're a child of the devil, because even in our own society, people want to distinguish between, here are good folks, and I suspect you have some good people who are neighbors. Good people who, if everybody that you knew were like those people, nobody would have to have locks on their doors. There wouldn't be a need for a police force. Everybody would be happy. They're good people. But they're not Christians. They're not children of God. And so sometimes we start making those same kind of distinctions. Well, you've got good folks, you've got good people, and you've got bad people, and you've got Christians, and you've got... The New Testament, the Bible makes two categories. You either belong to God, and you are one of His children, or you belong to the evil one, and you are one of His children. Those are the distinctions. We know that we are children of God. Do you know that? Do you know that you, if you have been baptized into Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, do you know that you belong to God? That you are His possession, you are His child? Then he says, we can know that God's Son has come. We know also that the Son of God has come and given us understanding so that we may know Him who is true. One of the major things that this letter was intended to accomplish was to defeat those who said God could not have come in the flesh, and that Jesus really could not be God incarnate. And so John says, as he has said throughout this letter, we know that the Son of God has come. He has been here. And when He came, He did something. He has given us understanding. Some of your translations will say insight. This word is used only here in all of John's writings. It means the process of reasoning which leads to perception. He has given us a process of reasoning that leads to perception that we may know Him. That's what Jesus has given us. He's given us that insight. He's given us that understanding that we can know Him. Not just know about Him, but know Him personally. Have a relationship with Him. Be in Him, be a part of Him, to really, genuinely know Him, so that we may know Him who is true. Or we may know the true One, is another good translation. We can know God's Son has come, so we can know the true One. In a world of religious pluralism, where you know, believe what you want to believe. Think what you want to think. Believe what you want to believe about Jesus, about Muhammad, about Buddha. If you want to blend those, that's fine. That's your business. Believe anything you want to believe. In a world that... there's a bumper sticker that drives my wife crazy and me too. It's the coexist sticker. I know you've seen it. The problem isn't coexisting. We're all coexisting. The problem is, that sticker implies, you know what? All of these are valid paths. All of them are equally true. All of them are meaningful. And you can believe what you want to believe. John says, we know that the Son of God has come so that we may know the true One. There is one true One. There is one way. There is one way to the Father. There is one way to salvation. There is one way to have your sins forgiven. Through Him. And then he says, we can know that we are in Christ. We can know this and know that we are in Him who is true, even in His Son, Jesus Christ. He is the true God and eternal life. Are you in Him? Do you live with an abiding sense that you are in Christ, that you are living in Him? Do you know that you're living there? John says we can know it. If you're not sure, if you're not sure about your salvation, there is no reason to leave here uncertain. None. If you believe that Jesus was the Son of God and that He is the truth, if you believe that and you are willing to be put in Him by being baptized into Christ, you can leave here knowing you're saved. Christians, do you have the confidence of knowing these things that John says you can be certain of? Are you confident? Do you know all of this? If you need your brothers and sisters to pray for you, to help you find that assurance, don't leave here unsure. If you need to respond, come now as we stand.